The Ein we're going to do this week is after the last couple of weeks of doing the Inyanim of Tzedakah. Now we're going to get down Lemaisa to the Inyan of Maisa Ksofim, of actually taking your money, and how do you separate Maisa Ksofim from what, and what should you give your Maisa Ksofim to, which are very negedig shailas. Firstly, I want to tell you that in the Santa Zach, the Chofetz Chaim writes in Avos Chesed, and this is also a Loshen from earlier Achroinim, the Chavos Yoeh and others, that they write that if a person does Maisa Ksofim, he should know what happens is he becomes a partner with the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's literally like taking a partner, and when a person can become a partner with the Ribbono Shel Olam to his tzedakas. There was a wealthy person in the early earlier years. There was a wealthy person whose name was Harry Fischel. This Harry Fischel, people approached him and said to him, "Tell us, what is your secret to success?" So he said, "If you would like to know my secret to success," he said, "Before I left Europe to come to America, I went to the Chofetz Chaim for a bracha." And the Chofetz Chaim said to him that if you want to be matzliach, what you should do is, every single time that you do a business deal, before you do the deal, you should separate a certain amount of money that you feel you will earn, and you should write out a check for that amount. And then you say, "Ribbono Shel Olam, if I'm zoicha I make the money, so then your tzedakah will be maviach this amount of money." And you know, as we know, the Gemara tells us, when it comes to tzedakah, you're allowed to test the Ribbono Shel Olam. I mean, there's a lashon, the Shvis Yaakov happens to object. The Shvis Yaakov, when he writes on that Chavos Yoeh, he says, "Shayu leimorei," he says the Ribbono Shel Olam should forgive the Chavos Yoeh, because he writes that you can chavrusa klapa shemaya, you can become a partner with the Ribbono Shel Olam. But lamaisa, if you look in the Avos Chesed, and in many svarim, they write that ad kedai kach, when a person gives maisek sofim, he literally becomes a shutvis with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the emes is a very important chakira which we have to make, and we'll say it over in the oifen of a chakira just to bring out the point, to understand what is pshat and maisek sofim, because this is a key to understanding the whole sugi. What's pshat and maisek sofim? Is pshat and maisek sofim that is maisa for aniyim, that you have to give your money away to poor people? Upshat is no. The Ribbono Shel Olam wants that you should take from your money 10% of your money towards the Ribbono Shel Olam. You should do things of ruchnias, of mitzvahs with your money. Now, what's the nafkamina? There's a tremendous nafkamina, because if you say it's a din in Mois Aniyim, then you have to give the money for poor people, and that's it. If you say you can give it to do mitzvahs that are sort of for the Ribbono Shel Olam, for ruchnias, then you can separate it and give it to any issue which is for a ruchnias tiki issue. And this is the important key to understand what are actually the gedorim of Mois Maisa. What is Maisa supposed to be directed to? Now we'll just take a few minutes and we'll go first through the Mekoiris. Number one, there's a pasuk in Parshas Vayetze where the pasuk says, "V'chol ashetitn li asa sreni loy." Right? Asa sreni loch. The pasuk Vayetze, Yaakov Avinu says this. There's a very interesting Dasakenu Bali Atoisvis. Dasakenu Bali Atoisvis says that a certain Apikoiris, Amin, went and asked Rabbi Yeshua, and he said to him, "Enachanami Yaakov Avinu gave my from his money, but what happened? Why did Yaakov Avinu not give Maisa from his children? He had 12 children." So what did the Dasakenim Bali Tosfos brings down? That Rabbi Yeshua answered, absolutely he did. He gave a tenth of his children. When he had he had 12 children, one tenth of them he has to give for the Ribbono Shel Olam. Who's that? Levi. And he gave Levi to sit and learn. So you see from the Dasakenim Bali Tosfos, and others want to bring a raya from here, that the emes, it's a medrash really, that you see, he gave a 10%, but what did he give it to? He gave it to Torah. He didn't give the money. He didn't give the money 12%. To what's that?
You 12%.
I'm sorry.
You 12%.
El Chanam, but there is extra, so he gave an extra percentage. But on the other hand, he couldn't take one child and slice him into parts. No, but you mechuyev to give maizes like kol ashiyav atachse shoved. When you hit the tenth, then you mechuyev to give one. That's koyden kol. What I wanted to mention about That from there, there's a raya. Secondly, the Chassam Sofer in the Tshuva in Yerudei Sim Reish Lamed Beis wants to say that you see from there that it's a shtickle inyan just like Ma'aseh Sheni. There's a picket of Rabbi Elezer by Avraham Avinu. It says Vayitin Loi Masa Mikoil with Malchit Tzedek. And there's all kind of, there's many different rayas. There's a diak from a Rambam. The Rambam says Avram was masakin tefillah, Yitzchak was masakin meiser. Okay, so the Ravid asks Akasha, what does it mean Avram was masakin tefillah and Yitzchak was masakin meiser? You see that Avram Avinu also went and gave meiser. So they want to answer that Yitzchak was masakin it b'derechoyv. Now the meiser, you take a look by Yitzchak Avinu, it says Vayizra Yitzchak bashona ahi meyer she'orim. Okay, so what it says over there is that he gave Meiser, and the Pasha's there, the Meiser was given away, that already was considered Meisaniyim. But L'Meiser, the Chassam Sofer, and many others bring that there is a strong Makor in Halacha to be Mekel and to give Meiser for other things too. It should be more of a din of a Meiser, Sheni Dikah din, not a din of a Meiser Oni. But the issue over here is, what are the actual Gedorim? Now, first of all, the first question which we have to deal with is, we have a concept called Meiser. Now, is Meiser really a din of a Deraiser or not? I bought you a whole bunch of Makaris of Maisa, but is it really a Deraisa de Gedin or not? L'Maisa, there is a tremendous machloikis to answer this question. There is the Chavis Yoer and the Shilas Yaivitz both say that Maisa is a Deraisa from the Psukim that I mentioned before. And they also quote, there's a letter that's written from the Vilna Goyen to his wife when the Vilna Goyen had to go away for a while. So the Vilna Goyen writes to his wife a letter, you should be very, very careful, he says, to give. The Vilna Goyen held that there was really a Choymish Mideraisa. And he writes to his wife that Maisa is a Chiev Deraisa. Okay? But others, however, many Poiskim, the Rebbe Kivega, the Aruch HaShulchan, bring down that it's a Drabonon. The Bach holds in Yerudea that it's only a minik, the Bach says. That Maisa is not a deraisa, not a derabonon, it's rather a minik. Lemaisa, it doesn't really make a difference because people for many generations have been Moisa Nefesh, always to give a tremendous amount of Maisa. And people were Moisa Nefesh, people were not Mekel on it, and people always did it. So whatever you want to call a minik, a derabonon, a deraisa, people will always know you to do it. However, where does it make an afgamina? Hayois that I mentioned before, there's a shtickle machloikas apoiskim, if mois maisa is a chiv als aniyim, or mois maisa is a chiv in general, therefore, to give things to things that are for the Ribbono Shel Olam, for ruchnias, therefore the Chassam Sofer and others, many others are machria, that in a situation where you're giving something for ruchnias, legaba this, you can zicha be soimach hayois, that there are many shitas that it's only a derabonon or a minig. Also, I want to mention that the Chavis Yoer writes in the Tshuva, which is written to Reb David Oppenheimer, it's in Simon Reish Chav Dalet. He says, he brings a very interesting question. Reb David Oppenheimer asks that there's a Gemara Menachas, the Gemara says that when you give Trumas and Maestras, so you give it from whatever grows. Now if you think about it, in order to plant the wheat, you had to make an investment, and you had to put certain wheat into the ground, and you had to have certain workers to do it. Now you see that you have to give Maisa from what actually grows. So Reb David Oppenheimer asks a Gavaldiga Kasha, if that's the case, why is it that you don't deduct when it comes, so how could you see from the Torah that when it comes to Maisa, you can't deduct the expenses. So maybe when we have to separate Maisa, we need to give Maisa regardless without separating the expenses. So the there's two truths given. I'll go with the basic teretz that's given. The Reb David Oppenheimer says that there's a gewaldige difference. That what happens is when you make the investment of putting the wheat into the ground, what happens? The wheat disintegrates, and after the wheat disintegrates, something new grows. So hayois, what you invested is something which is dova kola legamri, and now you're at risk. Either it will grow or it won't grow. The Chavis Yoer says that when something grows, it's b'derech nes. You put something into the ground, that's already long gone. Now it's growing, are you going to be metzliach, or are you not going to be metzliach? Therefore, over there, you have to give maisa legamri. Masha'enken over here, where like we said before, the lashon of the Chavos Yoyei is that here you're making a partnership with the Ribbono Shel Olam, and he says when you have two partners, the Shvus Yaakov brings down that he had two partners that went into business together. And after they went into business together, one of them went out, and he said, this year we made kach v'kach amount of money. So the, and then, but in the accounting, he went and he deducted different things that he bought himself suits in order to be able to look presentable for the business, and so on and so forth. So the Chavos Yoyei says 100%. If there are deductions towards the, in other words, you needed these items in order to make money, 100%. Now, 100%, what? 100%. Then you 100% can deduct it from the amount that you give towards the Maisa. However, what is considered a necessary deduction, we'll discuss soon. The Mechaz Yitzchak has a tshuva where somebody wrote him a letter that in order, he's an investment banker, and in order to put a good show on, he needs to drive a Rolls Royce. That's the Mechaz Yitzchak writes. The Mechaz Yitzchak writes 100% is a good svara, but you have to know if driving a Rolls Royce is a reasonable thing to do in this type of industry. Now, before we get more into this, let me go into in the Shulchan Aruch where it actually deals with the Shaila of Maisa Ksafim, and let's start to try to zero in what exactly you can give money of Maisa towards. Okay, firstly, there's a Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer says that you're allowed to buy Svarim if the reason why you're buying Svarim with your Mois Maisa is to lend it out to others. Okay? There's a Netziv. The Netziv in the Tshuva Meisher Dovah says that you're allowed to take your money and give it to any mitzvah. And I'm about to clarify soon what it means to any mitzvah. The Netziv even suggests a proposal that a person that's doing well should take his money, take Maisa of his money, and take a year sabbatical and learn Torah for a year from his own Maisa money. Because you see, clear that the Netziv learned that you should take your money towards the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's the idea. Now, however, there's a problem. There's a Maril. There's a Maril in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah. The Maril says that people that go and take off the money of the Maisa in order to buy Neiris for the Beis HaMedrash, Shaloi Kedin Heim Oisim. That's wrong. Why? Because Maisa belongs to the Aniyim, to the poor people. There's a Marami Rottenberg in Siman Kuf Lamed Aleph. He says that after poor people go and they're machzik, they grab the money of the Maisa, you're not allowed to be mishanet for a different tzedakah. And if you look in the Ramah, in Siman Reish Mem Tes Sif Aleph, he brings these poiskim. So l'chayr, if you look at the clear Shulchan Aruch, it seems to be that you're not allowed to go, the Ramah paskins, that you can't take Maisa of tzedakah for other things. So if you take a look at the Be'er Goyla, and the Be'er Goyla talks about it, and the Be'er Goyla says, listen, he says, what is the Ramah saying? The Ramah is saying that once the Aniyim were machzik in the money, then you can't go and change it to other things. But what's called the Aniyim being machzik in the money? So therefore, there's an interesting, and I'll explain it basically based on the Be'er HaGoyla and the way the Chassam Sofer, they explain it both a little bit differently, but I'll basically explain what they say. The Be'er HaGoyla basically says that once the Mois Maisa becomes Mamon Aniyim, you can't go and be mafashit to something else. The Chassam Sofer says that it's totally in something else. When you start to give Maisa money, what is your intentions? If your intentions is to give it for Aniyim, then 100%. There's halacha, you can't be Mishana Mois Tzedakah from Mamon Aniyim to another mitzvah. But if your intentions is right away to give the Maisa money in order to do mitzvahs with it, then you're allowed to do mitzvahs with it. That's what the Chassam Sofer says, and that's what it comes out from the Be'er HaGoyla pretty clearly. In the Shachan Taz, it comes out the same thing pretty much. The Shachan Taz write as follows, but there's one exception to the rule, and now we'll finally see the exception. After this Hagdama, we'll be able to get to all the practical cases. The exception is that even though we said that there are many poiskim that are matir, if you didn't originally intend to take your Maisa money to give it to Aniyim, you're allowed to go and do it for something give you money to something private. However, there's one moridig exception, and that is there are certain mitzvahs you're obligated to do anyways. And you cannot take the Mois Maisa. In other words, the whole idea was to promote Ruchnius. There are certain mitzvahs you have to do anyways. So if you take those mitzvahs and you're going to take it from Mois Maisa, state in the poiskim, you're Pireya Choivoy Min HaMaisa. What are the examples? Matzah. You have to eat matzah. So a person is going to say, I am going to go and take my Mois Maisa and buy matzah. What's Shaykh? How are you going to buy matzah with Mois Maisa? Matzah is your personal chayv. They have to do anyways. You can't go pay off your personal chayvis from Mois Maisa, and so on and so forth. So that is going to be the
tuition.
What? Tuition we're going to get to, but well, that tuition is way into the discussion. But these are the basic gedarim. The basic gedarim is, if your intention, like Katchila, is to separate the money for Mois Maisa, the Taz discusses, how about if you buy an Aliyah in the Bismadrish? If you buy an Aliyah in the Bismadrish, can it come from Mois Maisa or not? And for the Taz, it depends on our discussion. If when you buy the aliyah in the shul, your intention is that your money is going to go towards ma'aseh for mitzvahs, gezinta hayt. And when you shnud in the besmedish, bava shayit, and whatever you give, we have Rabbi Shua is listening in, so you know he knows that problem quite well. Huh? Huh? He didn't lose reception. He would have called back. So you hear? So if when a person goes and he gives the bava shayit, he's mechaven, the money should go. He's mechaven that. Oh, okay, good. We hear you. We know you're there. If he's mechaven that the money should go towards Moyes tzedakah 100%, then it's taka mutter. The emphasis in Shulchan Aruch, it's brought down that Moyes chitim cannot be deducted from Maisa because Moyes chitim was an obligation. They went and they taxed everybody how much Moyes chitim he had to give. It could be bezman hazeh. It could, exactly. Very good. Why? Because bezman hazeh Moyes chitim is not a tax anymore. It's a tzedakah bepashtis. Okay, and so on and so forth. There's an interesting truth in Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer discusses a shver that promised his son-in-law to support him for 6 years. So then he wrote a letter to the Chassam Sofer, am I allowed to support my edim from Maisa money? So the Chassam Sofer mamish captures this teretz, and he says to him as follows, if when you started to support him, your intentions were that you're going to deduct the money, you're going to give him from Mois Maisa, Shei the Chassam Sofer is mutter. But if when you started to support him, you have a different...
No, the new money, they call.
What's that?
The money that he has tomorrow.
No, listen. Because when he promised him, he made a choiv on himself. If he promised to give that choiv not for Mois Maisa, so then it becomes like Perei Choiv and a Maisa. You understand? Just like Matzah. Now, let's go a little bit further. Matonis Levyoinim, it says in Maril in Simenun Vav that it's usur to give Matonis Levyoinim from Mois Maisa. How come? Because Matonis Levyoinim is your obligation. However, if you go and you add money to the Matonis Levyoinim, because Matonis of Yom is a very small amount, what you have to give Me'ika Hadin, no problem, that you could take from the Maisa money. Machsis HaShekel, also, it's a personal obligation, okay? Mishloyech Manis, if you have two poor people, they'll let us send each other Shlach Manis, and be Yotze that way, right? But on the other hand, if you give Mishloyech Manis, if you're being Mekayim, you Ika Hadin of Mishloyech Manis, you can't do it, alright? Kaporis, the Shloah brings down the beginning of Masechtis Yuma, that a person should not take Maisa money for Kaporis. It's a little bit schwer, because Kaporis is a minik. Some people have a minik not to do it. Rav Pam Zecharei Levracha said over the pshat is because we know that the kaporis is like a korban, and when it doesn't pass, that when you're giving a korban, it should be a personal obligation rather than patterning it from Mois Maisa. The emes is there's an interesting Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan says you can't buy a lulav with Mois Maisa, okay? Because a lulav again is lekach lechem, the personal obligation. Rav Shlomo Zalman has an interesting cheshon. Rav Shlomo Zalman says maybe that's not true because meikah din you only have to buy one lulav for the whole shul, and this person goes and decides to buy his own lulav. Maybe that could come from Mois Maisa. However, there's a truth in the Minchas Yitzchak where he doesn't like it that much, and it's not 100% poshut. Now, the Shloah, there's a very interesting shita that's brought down in the Shloah, which is brought down in Rebbe Kivega in Shulchan Aruch. The Shloah says as follows. Let's say you're bidding a mismanage for an aliyah. So one person says $100. The next person says $110. Kainet the Shloah, the person that said $110, how much money did he really give the mismanage? $10. Because the $100, the Besmedesh had anyways from the previous person. So the Shloah says, and it's born in Kivega, but it doesn't matter. What it's, again, you're taking off from Mois Maisa, right? What was Tzedakah Maviach through you?
$110.
Not $10. $110. So there's no Yor Rabbi that dings of Taka. But Rabbi Kivega brings this. L'maisa will make it. But what's that?
The first person that bid $100. Is he still afraid to get $100?
I've been in certain shuls and certain Rabbanim have told that to me already. That in certain circles, they quote this Shloah. I don't know. I have to. There was somebody in the house last night. He claims that he actually saw this in a certain safe and that the people in Yerushalayim are knowing that way. That some people that once they any amount that they promise, it's a little hard to imagine. Yeah.
Whatever you pledge, you have to give. Regardless of what you know, when you pledge, you give.
And if you pledge 3-4 times, then you don't have. Just the final pledge.
The highest pledges, you have to give.
I pledge, you give, yeah.
You have to give it.
No, no, it sounds. Yeshua definitely agrees. Now you woke him up. I mean, he definitely agrees that every. I hear it's a good svara, but it's interesting. Now, how about seats that you buy in a besmedrash? Can you deduct the money that you pay for seats in a besmedrash from Maisa or not? Now, but Esma, I want to tell you that it should really, in a lot of cases, be also, because a seat that you buy in a besmedrash is your obligation. Your use of a besmedrash is no less than the use of your house. Just like you're obligated to pay for things in your house, you have to pay for your seat in the besmedrash. However, it could be the makom lahakol. What's the makom lahakol? A lot of times today, people daven in one shul on the weekdays, and one shul on Shabbos, and one shul here, and one shul there. And what happens is, every shul says, if you're here, buy a seat. And usually when you buy a seat, they don't even put a seat down for you, because it's just sort of a membership drive. So in such a case, there's taka a makom lahakol. There's an orchashilchan that discusses a rav that's mesadik kedushin. So a rav that's Masada Kedushin, he says that it was a minig in Europe. When a Rav was Masada Kedushin, they always gave him money. So he says that that money can't come off a Mois Maisa, because it's an obligation on the person to pay the Rav the money for what he's doing. The Menches Yitzchak and Chelech Chesim and Pegimel discusses a building fund. He's makel on a building fund that you could deduct it from Mois Maisa. The Chesam Soifa, Yerideus Simon Reish Mem Dalad, discusses buying Svarim with Mois Maisa. So he says 100%. He says, "Ein loch mitzvah rabbe gedoyle mizu." There's no greater mitzvah than buying svarim. Okay, this happens to be a very interesting tshuva. There is a person that left over a yerusha, and the yerusha was left over of many svarim, and that town didn't have a mikvah, so he wanted to take the svarim and exchange it for a mikvah. So the chasam soifa ends up with a loshen, "V'lo yachlifi be'emayim chayim b'bor mikveh mayim." Let them not exchange a bor mayim chayim of Torah to a bor mikveh mayim of a mikveh. And we know mikveh so chashuv, and Chasam Soifa held that having svarim is even more important than that. However, there's an Aruch HaShulchan that says that that's only if the svarim is bought in order to lend them out to people. If you buy them for yourself, not. Lamaisa, the Chaya Odom is makel. So there is definitely what to be makel on, and especially a person which is, you know, we're talking it's a lot of Bnei Torah, that in the first place it's hard for him to give Maisa, so to give the money towards Svarim is Avada, okay, there's no problem with it whatsoever. The Be'er Sheva, rather, in Simon Memalev, has a different Svarim. The Be'er Sheva Tain is that maybe it's Asa, because Bizman HaZeh, we can be Mekayim, our obligation to the mitzvah of Ksivis Sefer Torah, the our place can that say through learning Svarim, through buying Svarim. Because the whole reason to write a Sefer Torah is Vata Kitzvah Chemes HaShir HaZoyz V'Lam Yisrael Sim B'Fiyim. You're supposed to in order to learn the Torah. And since Bizman HaZeh, a person who wants to go and learn Torah, the Pasha is better to buy today. It could be, in a way, it's better to buy a Rashba than to invest your money into a Sefer Torah. There are places that say this. The Pasha should still do both, but keep a mitzvah of both. But the point, what's the reason why? The reason why Avada person should do both. But the reason is because when you buy a Sefer, you mekayim a mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah, according to some Shittas. So the Be'er wants to tie in. If that's the case, you can't deduct from Mois Maisa, because there's an obligation on a person to buy a Sefer Torah. I just want to be ma'ir, it's not so poshut, because how many Sefer Torahs does a person have to buy? We have libraries and libraries of Svarim. Once a person was mekayim the Ika Din of Ksiva Sefer Torah, so l'chayre, he could deduct the money from Mois Maisa. Now, the emes is that you mentioned it before, already, Yehuda. The one of the most difficult topics in this issue is tuition. Tuition is a very, very important, and it's an important question to deal with. Tuition. The emes is that b'muskel rishon, when you think about it, it's very hard to be matter to take off mois meiser for tuition for a very simple reason. Like we said before. And a chanami, the apoyskim that are makel to take off mois maisa to something which is a mitzvah, even like maisa sheni, not like maisa oni. We did bring many makilim, if that was the intention in the beginning, and if that's the person that's nahaygis, so on and so forth. However, we did say another aloha, and that was, you can't patl your personal obligations with mois maisa. You can't be perei choivim in mois maisa. So we took off matzah, we took off a whole bunch of other mitzvahs, like we matanos lev yoinim. Now, let's take tuition. There's a mitzvah in the Torah. right? That you have a chiyuv to teach your children Torah. If you have a chiyuv to teach your children Torah, so if that's the case, what is the heter to deduct it from Moyes Meisen? The Chofetz Chaim Taka Navas Chesed Chelik Beis Perik Yutes Taka says that based on this cheshem that it's awesome. Zokt Reb Moshe in a tshuva in Igus Moshe Yerudei Chelik Beis Simin Kuf Yud Gimel. So Reb Moshe Tainis, it's a very good. You're right that a son should be awesome, but how about a daughter? A daughter you don't have a chiyuv to teach Torah to. So technically speaking, it should be mutter. Zokt Reb Moshe Bezman Hazeh, you don't have that heter either. How come? Because the government in America insists that you give every child an education, and if you don't send your child to yeshiva, you're going to have to send your child to public school. And if you send your child to public school, they're not going to end up being erluch. They're going to learn all kind of terrible things from the goyim. And if that's the case, shteitan in Reb Moshe, so if that's the case, you have an obligation to educate your child. So now that you have an obligation to educate your daughter, you can't take that off from Moshe's Maisa either. But Lamaisa, it's very hard for people, and we have to see what Hatayim there actually are. So Lamaisa is a Trumas Hadeshin in the Sefer Leket Yosha. The Trumas Hadeshin says a certain sad lahokel. Why? Because a father is only mechuyev to teach his son Mikra, Chumash. Some Rabbi Yaakov held it includes Tanakh. But the point is, now, if you take a look at the yeshiva and you make a cheshbon of the amount of time that's invested into chumash, so it could be it's only referring to the lower grades. But once a child has his basic education and is really getting up to a higher level education, high school gemara, maybe mikadin is no chiyuv for that. Midachis, you still have Reb Moshe's tiny, where Reb Moshe held that since you have to send them to a yeshiva. But on the other hand, if public school is 9 to 3, and we send yeshiva till 10 o'clock. What? Huh?
What about the children learning English? We learn Torah, so that part you say you can't deduct.
From the English, it's not a mitzvah. Oh, you mean because that's a lamda yumnis? The lamda yumnis and sin yeshiva. I'll tell you, it's a difficult topic. It's a very difficult topic, and there's no clear achro. I'll tell you a nice thing which Rav Pam Zachron Levocha once said. Rav Pam had a very nice achro. Rav Pam Zachron was as follows. He said that you have to separate it. He says, take a child, try to send to yeshiva. And these numbers that I'm going to pick are mishalom. Nobody should come back to me from yeshiva and say that I said that these are the numbers that yeshiva is willing to take a child for. But this is, let's say, and it could be these numbers are from the 1940s. I don't know. But I'm going to give just a mere example. Let's say the bare minimum it costs to keep a child in yeshiva. Let's say, I don't mean this number seriously, is $3,000. And if a parent came to a yeshiva, I'm sure it's higher. I know that. All right. But let's say a parent came to yeshiva and they asked the yeshiva, I don't have money. What would you take my child for? So the yeshiva says to cover basic expenses is $3,000. However, the yeshiva expects every parent to pay 5. Probably a number like 7 and 10 is more accurate. But let's say, okay, so if you make the cheshbon, the first 3, which everybody is obligated and must pay towards tuition, that for sure, you can't take off a maaser money. The next couple of thousand, which a person pays extra to the yeshiva in order to keep the yeshiva running, that already there is a svara to take off from maaser money. And l'chayra, that is the...
What? That's for a son or daughter?
The pashtus, yeah. I just want to... There's a lot more halachas. I want to just catch up on a whole bunch of different halachas. I'll take questions after the shir, okay? The next thing, all right? So Reb Moshe is a shuvah choshen mishpat and chelik beis simen nun ches. Reb Moshe declares that, how about if you go to a yeshiva dinner? So if you go to a yeshiva dinner, so you write out a check for $500. But the dinner was in the Wall of Astoria, and a dinner in the Wall of Astoria cost $180. So l'chayri, you should only be able to deduct from Maisa $320, right? Because $180 you had enough from. So Reb Moshe comes up with a very nice svara. And Reb Moshe says, how much did you really want from that meal? As far as you're concerned, you can eat in your house supper, and your supper in your house costs you $8. So Reb Moshe says that everything that's between that, but the IRS doesn't work that way. But the IRS, they give you a receipt for the IRS, and the receipt basically says that you can deduct the amount of money minus the amount of the meal. They consider the meal at the Wall of Astoria, not the meal that you would have by yourself. Now, there's another issue. According to most Achronim, you're supposed to be mafresh as soon as you make the money. There's a truth in the Noyd Behuda Simon Kuf Tzadik Ches. It's a difficult topic that He says that there are people that they make an accounting once a year, or they make a certain set period. The emes is the shaila goes much deeper than that, because Yehuda deals with a shaila of a person that separated money from Maisa, and then his business deals went sour, and he wanted to take money back from Maisa. And then Yehuda mitches very, very much. How do you actually mate anything of that sort? So the same thing Yehuda says that it's a little bit difficult to be mate, but I guess that became the meaning of certain people, so it became like an automatic Tanai that people do it that way. Now, how about a poor person? Does a poor person have to separate Maisa? The Gemara says in Bava Kama that a poor person should give tzedakah, and that's how he's going to become rich. The Minchas Yitzchak says in Chelik Vav Simen Kuf Aleph that after he separates the money from Maisa, he can take the money and technically keep it for himself. That he could do. But he says it's an Eitzah Toiva either way, that a person should always get used to separating Maisa, and in order to be a person needs to train himself to give Maisa. And I discussed in last year that if a person could, he should give up to Lachoymish, or even more in certain situations. But a person has to become Murgel in giving Maisa. Lamaisa, a person shouldn't try to make himself into an Oni, because if you take a look in the Igris Moshe and from Zalman Obach, the Shiurim of what it's called being an Oni, the Shiurim are very, very low. It's Mazen Shtei Sudis, so hopefully nobody should even think about this type of level, Cholila. Now, there's a famous story. Reb Chaim Volozhiner always used to separate money from Maisa. And Reb Chaim Volozhiner writes that one year he went and he separated the money, and he decided he's going to sit and learn, he's going to do it for himself. And his wife had a store, and the store started to go down terribly. So l'katchil, a person should definitely avoid that. The Reb Moshe writes an interesting thing in Yerudei Simkuf Yudalot. That is as follows. Sometimes you have capital gains. A person goes and sells a house. He sells a house after 10 years. So this, what happens is, the house went up by $100,000. So l'chayri, have to give Maisa from $100,000. So Reb Moshe says you can deduct the inflation, which means figure out the amount, the percentage of how much the money went up over the 10 years, and that amount you can deduct from the Moyes Maisa. There's a interesting Shaila, the Shuvas Night of Yehuda, Simon Kuf Sadik Tes, a person that gave you you gave somebody a loan, and after many years you realize that there's no chance the person is going to pay it back. Can you repay the loan to yourself from Moyes Maisa? There are three Tanoim in the Night of Yehuda. Number one, you have to be medih him that you're doing it. He has to be a type of person that will accept tzedakah at that point. He has to be an oni, not just a person that doesn't want to give you back the money. And he has to be that you would usually give this amount of money for tzedakah. There's three tanoim in the Tshuvas Noid of Yehuda on this topic. Now, the emes is that there is an Afkas Reuchel, which many people debate if it's authentic or not. He brings down in Afkas Reuchel, Simon Gimel brings from Reb Matisio Trebis, who was a Rav in Paris in 1325, and he brings down over there that Maisa is something that a person deducts after all his expenses. It's an interesting sheet that the Chidah says that it's not authentic and nobody ever wrote it. However, I just want you to know there is such a sheet that there are some that bring it down for a person that's mamish b'shayas hadchag. There is such a sheet, but it's kosher l'ahak l'avada. Person should try not to be making on something of that sort. The stipler declares the following shaila. The stipler declares you have a rebbe, and the rebbe goes and donates his time for other to tutor or so on and so forth. Is he allowed to deduct from Moyes Maisa? Zok the stipler that a person who would be making money at this time with his time is allowed to deduct his time from Moyes Maisa. Now, remember that when you deduct Moyes Maisa, it's always from net, not from gross, obviously, and it's net, and you have to minus the expenses. So, which means, let's say a husband and wife both work, and in order for both of them to work, they have to hire a babysitter to take care of the children. So there's no question that you can deduct the value of the babysitter from the net income before you separate the Maisa. However, let's say the babysitter is in your house, and in order for the babysitter to be in your house, you have to, once the babysitter is in your house, she washes the dishes for you at the same time. So you save the money from having gotten a cleaning lady. So that you cannot deduct. You have to shut up the accurate amount that you're saving because that you're not earning because you're going to work. Cleaning help is obviously a separate cheshbon.
If that sounds what's
that?
If it's from babysitters,
that the aleph base is doing just to entertain the child. That's not. I don't think you're doing that because of your mitzvah. I think you can deduct it. You're really doing it. The aleph base you can teach the kid yourself. The aleph base the kids can learn yeshiva. It's very nice that the kids learn the aleph base, but I wouldn't say that you're not. That it's considered babysitter teaching Torah, because at the end of the day, you have to hire a babysitter anyways, that time. It's very nice. Instead of reading some book, she's teaching the kid Aleph Beis. It's a good thing, but it's
play
not...
Playgroup should be the same.
And a play, if you send the kid to playgroup because you have to work, 100%, you can deduct the money, you know, before net. And then you take... Right,
that tuition you can.
No, tuition not, because tuition is a chayv. That was the whole point. Anything
you can't even take it off the net.
But nursing,
no. Accept that exception that I made. The difference between the amount,
but
no. What I'm saying is as follows. What I'm saying is, if you have a child, and you're taking this child, you want to go to work from 9 to 3. In order to go to work from 9 to 3, somebody has to take care of your child. So you can take a babysitter into the house. You can send a kid to preschool. Whatever the amount is, again, you're right. If the preschool
ends, it's called school.
What's that?
So what age? You said that school.
Oh, you're tiny. That yeshiva should be like a babysitting service. That's what you go on. It depends what yeshiva.
From first grade on, there's a chiv to send to yeshiva.
From first grade, yeah.
Full first grade, there's no chiv.
Yes, there's no chiv at that point. You understand right? Let me just finish up two more points. Rav Pam Zecharin Levrocha. Another couple of points. Rav Pam held that if a person goes and spends money at a Chinese auction, they should not deduct the whole amount of money from Maisa. I don't remember clearly. He once said that maybe a third you shouldn't deduct of the money that you spend, and the reason is because a certain amount of money you have hano from that money, because you're giving the money towards something which you're enjoying. But you have a certain it's an interesting thing. A lot of people give more money to Chinese auctions than to regular tzedakahs. What's the cheshbon? The cheshbon is because they're having a certain amount of personal enjoyment. Now let me just another few quick points. If you're given something as a gift that is not given as cash, but rather is given as a gift, there are a lot of mekilim. I mean, the pashta cheshbon is because very often you don't even want to have that item. But even if not, there are shitas that are mekel. Let me just conclude with an interesting tshuva in Igros Moshe Chelibes Simon Tuf Yud Beis. The Igros Moshe says the following point. He says that how about a shver that gives money to an edim? And he says to the edim as follows. He says, I would like to give you the money, but I would like that you should take this money. And and I would like that you should not separate Maisa from the money that I give you.
He's taking off Maisa.
Huh?
What if he's taking off Maisa?
Oh, so one thing. First of all, maybe he's taking off Maisa, but even if not, Rav Moshe seems to say that the Shver has a right to say that to an Edom, and Rav Moshe adds on an interesting point. Rav Moshe says, even if the Edom tainas that, why not, I can afford it. So Rav Moshe says, what are you talking about? The Shver says, because I'm giving you, because I want you to live on a certain lifestyle, on a certain standard. You're afterwards, what are you saying? So you say, big deal, I'll take off some of the money and I live less. So the Shver says, what's going to happen ultimately speaking? I want you to live in a certain lifestyle. I'll have to give you even more. So Rav Moshe is matter that. Let me just conclude. It says that I once heard a Gevalde Gevot. It says, Va'al Yovoi B'chol Eis El HaKodesh. I once heard a very interesting word. It says, Oysa Tzedoka B'chol Eis. What's the Oysa Tzedoka B'chol Eis? Zeh Hazon Bonav Evnei Beis. A person that supports his children, that gives his children at home food, is considered a Tzedoka of B'chol Eis. So I once saw when you have to come to the Ribbono Shel Olam to say what you accomplished with your money, don't come with a kol eis. Kol eis means that my whole life I went and I gave money to my children, I gave money to my kids in order to have what to eat. Even though there are all these loopholes in Mitzvah Maisa, a person should try as much as possible Rambam says that the main simcha by the Ribbono Shel Olam, by Matnas Aniyim, is that to be Sameach Lev Aniyim Vevyoinim and Yisoyim and Almanas. And of course, even though there are these loopholes, a person should be mishtal b'chol koychay, not to let these things take it away from the aliyim. That's it. Okay.